Now, the title of today's sermon is Ministry Requires New Birth. I've been harping on this idea of ministry. So we started out saying, you're a minister. Surprise, surprise, you're the minister, not me. I'm the shepherd and you are the ministers. And then the next sermon was, what was the next sermon? Your ministry is to grow the body. Your ministry is to grow the body. That's what your ministry is. I mean, that's the focus, the main first focus of any Christian's life is to help the body of Christ grow, okay? Obviously, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the growth of the body of Christ, but in this section of Scripture, in Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, Paul's emphasizing that God has a purpose for you, and that's to be listening to the Word of God preached by the preacher to train you to be a part of the body that helps the body grow. Just like your physical body, each part functions a certain way for the benefit of the body. It doesn't just go off and do its own thing. It's there for the body. And we're here for God and for the body of Christ. That's why we're here. We're here for Him. He isn't merely here for us, right? We're here for Him. I mentioned before, last week, are we sinners because we sin? Or do we sin because we're sinners, right? Well, primarily we sin because we're sinners. Now, Adam became a sinner because he sinned, okay? But for the rest of us, we sin because we're sinners. There are a couple other things like that. I forget what the other one was. But then we come to the question of who's here for whom? Is God here for us or are we here for God? Primarily, we're here for God. God didn't need us, but He made us for Himself. And He is here for us, but that's not primarily the situation. God made us for Him. That's why we're here, okay? Many people think, well, God's here for me. He's my gift maker, you know, giver of things to me. No, we are here for Him. And so our first ministry, obviously we have a relationship with God, and because of that we relate to the body of God or body of Christ, which is the church, and in building up the body of Christ. Our ministry is to grow or build the body of Christ primarily. I'm not talking about evangelism here. We're talking about mutual encouragement, service to each other. But this ministry requires a new birth, first of all. We're not going to be able to minister to the body of Christ unless we are a part of that body of Christ through the new birth. And so in this section, Paul's emphasizing what we were and what we now are, right? A new birth means a complete change of who we are. It's a new birth. And so, looking at our text, which is Ephesians 4, 17 to 24. In the beginning of chapter 4, he was emphasizing the unity in the body and the diversity of the parts of the body, how we each have a different gift from God for the body. And now he's talking about some of the things that we have to be in order to minister to the body. So verse 17, chapter 4 of Ephesians. Verse 17 says, so I say this and affirm in the Lord. This isn't just something that Paul is making up, okay? It comes from Jesus Christ through Paul. He says that you are to no longer walk. When he says walk, he means live, okay? Your style of life. What's your walk? What's your life? No longer to walk just as the Gentiles also walk. And he uses Gentiles as an example, right? To not follow. the negative example. Don't walk like you used to walk. You're not a Gentile anymore. You're the true Israel, right? You're the true Israel. And so whether you were a Gentile or were a Jew, now you're part of the body of Christ, and you need to walk a new way. And using those Gentiles as an example, because these Ephesians were mainly Gentiles, in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Wow, just look at those things there, okay? So, this is where you were when you were a Gentile, and you know, your history is of being a Gentile. So, where were you? You had a futile mind, a mind that was useless for use for God and in God and in godly ways. It was vain, futile, useless. It didn't have the capacity. Okay, he told us in chapter 2 how we were dead, right? And some similar descriptions there in chapter 2 that you could look at if you want, but the mind is a synonym for the heart, okay? Sometimes when the Bible says heart, it really says liver or something else, okay? But we usually think of the heart, okay? And so without a complete change of being, of who you are, you have a futile mind, dark understanding. There's not light. You know, Jesus is the light, and then we become the light. As we enter into union with Christ, we become the light of the world. Also, you are the light of the world, Jesus said. And there's a darkness in their understanding. It's like having a blind spot. They can't see some things. We can't see things that we need to see. We're blind. Jesus came and physically healed blind people. Why? To show that he had the power to give spiritual sight to people also. He did the same thing with forgiveness, which is harder to say, walk again or your sins are forgiven, you know. Well, it's harder to make someone walk again because they actually have to walk. But you can't see. It's really harder to forgive sins, actually. But you can't see that. So he said, I'll make this guy walk so that you can see something. Something you can see and shows that I can forgive sins. Because you can't see that. We're darkened in our understanding. We need some light that only comes from God. We're excluded from the life of God, this godly life that we need to be, because of the ignorance. If we can't understand, we're not going to learn anything, right? How are we going to learn if we have a darkened understanding? You say the same thing to people over and over again, and it just doesn't penetrate that thick skull. So they're ignorant because it's not going in. And the reason they're ignorant is because they can't understand what you're telling them. Right? In I think 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul says the one who hasn't been saved can't understand the things of God. They're spiritually discerned. It requires a new discernment, new understanding ability. So that's where you were. There's a little more. Because of the hardness of their heart. Man is unwilling to hear these new things because they're contrary to what they've been taught and how they think. Their whole way of life, it's objectionable to them. So there's a hardness of heart that resists anything like that. And verse 19, and they having become callous. You know, a callous means it's been worn and done so many times that it's impenetrable, it's become hard, right? And so the heart and themselves have become callous, giving themselves up to indecent behavior for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. Okay? So Paul is saying, that's where you were. You were in this position of not being able to know, resisting knowledge that is good and things that we need to understand, and continuing the way of the world with indecent behavior, impureness, and greediness. So these are things in the area of behavior that are just imprinted patterns on our minds and lives. So that's where you were. It's going to take a new birth for all that to change. But you did not learn Christ in this way. So that's not the kind of thing that we're teaching you to be or do. When the word is preached, when an evangelist speaks, or a Christian witnesses to someone who is not a Christian. One of the reasons folks say, well, we shouldn't be enticing people to follow Christ for the wrong reasons, because that wouldn't fit with this, right? If there was a cult once that had girls dress up attractively to entice young men to join their cult. And I can't remember what the names of these things, and there was a method that was called. And what? No, that's not how you learn Christ. Not that way, right? If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. He says, you did not learn Christ in this way if you did learn. If you did learn, it's not this way, okay? He says, if indeed you have heard him. And this reminds us of the fact that we've been looking through Revelation a little bit with our scriptures in the bulletin, and the Spirit says, let him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, you know. And you have to have an ear to hear. The hardened heart, the heart of stone must be replaced with a heart of flesh. The darkness has to be removed, and the blinders taken off, and light has to shine in. Then you can hear, and then you can see, and then you can receive the teaching and believe, which is why we say, first comes regeneration, then comes belief. It's all one time, but the one causes the other, right? We got to be able to see before we can see anything, right? And Paul says spiritual things are spiritually discerned, so you got to have the Spirit there working in your heart before you can discern spiritual things. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you have been born again, said Jesus to Nicodemus. Thank you, folks. So, you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him, if you have heard him, we hear of him, the world pretty much, well, there are corners of the world that haven't. Maybe a half hasn't, perhaps. There's a lot of people who haven't even heard of him. Okay, but most of the places we preach, they've heard of him. Okay, Paul went places where he hadn't been preached yet, or he wanted to go places like that. But most have heard of him. The only way to actually hear him is to be born again. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, the Spirit teaches of God directly to our hearts. In this case, as we're regenerated, right? Just as truth is in Jesus, only through Jesus have we received the full truth, and we are taught that by him, the truth of who he is. We recognize who God is and who we are. That in reference to your former way of life, you are to rid yourself of the old self. Rid yourselves of the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. So even though you've heard and you've learned, been taught, still we need to rid ourselves of the old patterns that have been imprinted on us. All right, this was there's a callus that needs to be scraped off. You know, it might hurt a little bit, and the hard heart is gone, but sometimes the thinking and the flesh are there still. And so he says, take that old self and get rid of it, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. Deceitful lusts, they seem to be good and pleasurable, and then they don't satisfy. They're deceitful lusts. They trick us. And that you are renewed, verse 23, in the spirit of your minds. So we need a renewal in there. It's begun in the new birth, but it proceeds throughout the Christian life. And put on the new self. We have to consciously do it. He's giving us a command here. We need to remind ourselves where we were and where we are now, and how we need to do the things according to our new self, not according to what we were. Put that old man off, or old self off. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God, that's added, says, which in God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So it is a new creation. It's a new birth. The new self was created. In the quotes from Piper, he mentions that, and this is one view, that when a person is born, God creates a new soul at that time. Now, whether it's a direct creation, or some say, well, somehow it comes from the souls of the parents, okay, along with the seed, the flesh is inherited, the corrupt spirit also passed on, some say. And some say, no, the soul is a new thing that God creates at that time. The Bible doesn't really get into the details of how a new person is created at birth, or conception, because of the problem with why would God make a fallen man, create it, right? You know, that fallen soul from nothing. does that soul have to fall again, like Adam fell? And so maybe that's where some people get the age of accountability and things like that. Anyway, it's a complicated subject, but in any case, when you're born again, wherever your soul came from in the first place, it's a new creation now, okay? And he says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. It's a new creation in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So it's not built on lies or vain, empty things that don't satisfy. It's built on truth of God. And the fact that our existence depends on God and our pleasure depends on God, right? And so we have lusts of deceit previously, a pleasure that is not satisfying. Now we have a new self, which is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. It has this fresh start. It's dedicated to God, holiness, of the truth. It's not a lie. It's truth. The basis of our new being is truth and righteousness. If we recognize who we are now, we'll be able to minister to the body and who we were before. Otherwise, we have, what did we have before? We were in darkness. We were excluded. We were ignorant. We had a hard heart, callous, indecent behavior, and practicing impurity and greediness. So, if you have something like that in your body, you cut it off, okay? Because it's malignant. It's infected and it needs to be removed. Yeah. And so that part of the body isn't going to be ministering to the rest of the body. It's something that we need to get off the body, you know. But the new self, it's like getting like somebody here might need a knee operation, whatever they call it, replacement. Yeah, you know. There you go. Now you're bionic, okay? And it doesn't hurt anymore. Maybe after some 6 months of physical therapy, yeah. But then, man, it hardly hurts anymore, you know. Great, you know. The muscles at first are going to hurt, you know, but at least the joint isn't hurting anymore. And you know, that's who we are after the new creation, after the new birth is, but you know, it's more complicated than that. And so that's why he's saying, you know, we need to put on the new and put off the old, okay? This is sandwiched in between, you know, all this ministry stuff, you know. So, and at the beginning he was saying how in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And then he lists these things, okay? So as opposed to, you know, impurity, greediness, indecent behavior, callousness, useless minds, he says here in 4:2, all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of Christ. So we'll get to more of this in the next section of Ephesians 4 as we see more about how we can relate to the rest of the body to help build it up. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thanks that you made us a part of the body of your Son so that your Son would minister to the world in the church and through the church. You have chosen to use the church to reach the world. First, the church must reach the church. And so may the church build itself up according to your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.